on this show are ours and ours alone.
But we weren't going to intro yet.
Entertainment purposes only.
This content is meant for mature audiences.
So press start and come join our game.
Welcome back to another episode of Waiting for Players. I'm Adam.
I'm Troy McClure.
I'm Peter.
I'm Zap Brannigan.
Well, how are you guys doing?
Liars. Good. I'm doing well.
Don't look the same character.
Just fine, Kif. Now get me my pants for relaxing. No, Kif, those are my captain pants.
So if you can see us live on Twitch right now.
You absolutely can.
We are playing Hexascope.
Sure.
Hexascope.
Na 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 na.
It's a puzzle game where you connect power source to power source to peaceful and relaxing music.
But more of that later.
Unfortunately, we can't hear the music, so
I just have to take
your word on it. Is it peaceful and relaxing?
It actually is, yeah.
Nice. I hope it doesn't put our listeners to sleep, so...
I could fall asleep to this.
Well, I hope it doesn't put you to sleep,
bro,
either.
Bro, you could fall asleep to a lot of things.
And that was,
That was Adam on the boards.
Yeah.
Novadea on the ones and zeros.
Fucking things up.
Nah.
Yeah, kind of.
Nah.
Well, like I said before, I'm sure our listeners and viewers will let us know if shit's fucked up. Yeah. So.
Oh, please do.
We've never messed up before.
That's not true.
We never mess up ever.
We go live without a hitch every single week.
Why do you gotta lie to the people? Why are we lying to people?
We're not really lying so much as not telling the truth.
And there's no hyperbole in John's speech right there at all.
Never was.
Ever. It's the best thing.
As a matter of fact, what is that?
And it should be stated that at some point tonight, we're going to have an in-studio guest.
He might
say hi.
He won't be on camera.
But you might hear him asking questions off in the corner.
Right now, he's stuck in a KFC drive-thru.
Yeah, I hope he's bringing us some chicken.
I hope he doesn't eat, like, loudly.
We'll have to take like a 20-minute break and eat some chicken. So
I'm okay. Sure.
I have no idea how to pause this.
You can't. We'll just leave it going.
Yeah. All right. You guys will just have to watch us eat chicken.
Yeah. Nom 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 nom.
All right. So you guys ready to get into some news?
Oh yeah.
What's news, if you want. Back to you, Troy.
Yeah. Well, the first thing we're going to talk about is just kind of a follow up to something we talked about last week. With the PC USB dongle coming out for PlayStation 4 controllers.
Yeah, we kind of came to the consensus that it's really not necessary. There are already a ton of third-party, third-party peripherals that work fine.
Yeah, well, then there's plenty of drivers you can get to just do that automatically on your PC. But what we overlooked... One of the things we overlooked was that allows the audio port on the controller to work.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which would allow you to speaker
on those controllers?
There's a 3.5mm audio jack on the bottom, so you can have your headphones hooked up just to your controller.
Okay.
So, like, if I'm sitting on my couch playing, I've got my headset on, but it's just hooked to the controller and then wireless from there, you know.
Right.
It's a pretty nice feature. And this also coincides with them announcing PlayStation Now for the PC. If you don't know what PlayStation Now is, it's Sony's subscription service. I believe it's $20 a month, somewhere around there. And then you get access to a whole bunch of games. It's like a library of 400 plus games.
I'm going to have to pay Sony money just for an opportunity to buy their shit.
No, you have access to 400 games.
So if you pay for a month's worth of the streaming service, you can play any one of those 400 games for that month.
Oh.
For the $20.
They're mostly PS2, PS3 games, like all of the Uncharted's except for the newest one, of course, is on there. I think all of the God of War's are on there, too.
I just rewatched the ending of God of War 3.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Pretty fucked up.
I just rewatched Racist Mario the other day.
I rewatched a lot of things.
But yeah, I don't know. It's a bit on the pricey side at $20 a month, but...
Did it go up recently, too? Like, the price for it went up?
I don't remember that one going up. The price for PSN Plus went up.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, my bad.
That went up from, like, $50 to $60, I think. Mm. So... Mm. if you have a PlayStation and you know you're going to want PSN Plus for a while, buy the cards now while you can still find them fairly cheap.
Indeed.
The accounts stack, so if you were to buy like 2 or 3 years worth, you can just use them all now, and then you'd have 2 or 3 years worth of PSN.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's funny to try and watch John guide Peter.
I'm not guiding him. I want to guide him. He's ignoring me. So.
I am ignoring you.
So that's really what's going on.
But this is a follow-up that's actually probably worth noting because we were wrong.
Yeah, there is.
Also never happened before.
There is a bit of a purpose for it. If you want to spend the $20 a month for PlayStation Now and
get access
use
to
a PS4 controller, yeah. For sure.
It might be worth it. I got my Steam controller, and the learning curve on that is very high. You really gotta commit to playing with that thing, because it's difficult. My one complaint, I think, is that if you were to scroll all the way to the left or right with the analog stick on a regular controller, it keeps going. On a Steam controller, it doesn't.
That was my biggest complaint with the Steam controller, too, when we were playing No Man's Sky.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just something you got to get used to. So.
It is. It's the...
So, like, a trackball at that point.
Right, exactly. That's kind of what... But, I don't know. I haven't really messed around with too many different configs to see if there's anything that's better for that.
I played Harley Quinn DLC for Arkham Knight. It's quick. It's, like, one mission.
Is it?
Yeah. It was difficult. Not only because the character's way different than Batman. She doesn't have silent takedowns. She has loud takedowns.
Does she laugh afterwards?
Yeah, like, she screams. She screams the whole time, swings an aluminum bat, and like makes a huge thud when she lands.
And can't fly around the city.
No, she doesn't. There's no time. You're always inside with her. Or like right outside a building on the ground level. Either way, with an analog stick, you can always go left or always go right, always go up and always go down. This is just like having to haptically fucking scroll if you're trying to look behind you.
You mess with the sensitivity a lot since you've gotten it?
No, actually, because it's just a sense. It feels just like yours.
Yeah.
You can adjust it, so I was just curious if you had the urge to, you know, change it around and see
if we could adjust that
better.
Before the next time we play No Man's Sky, because it's really sensitive on that game. So.
Well, shit. Good timing.
Yeah, I don't remember you saying that before the show.
So far, right now on PlayStation Now, Battle Princess of Arcadia, Child of Light, Disgaea 3, Absence of Justice, Disgaea 4, Promise Unforgotten, Disgaea D2, A Brighter Darkness.
390 other games.
Yeah.
You're going to go through the whole list.
If you scroll all the way down, there's the full list. It's a weird website.
Oh, that's a weird website.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it is $20 a month, which is kind of steep
all
for a streaming service.
All the Assassin's Creed, Bioshock, Borderlands 2, I think.
If you've been itching to play PlayStation games, it's probably
and you don't
totally
have a PS2
exactly.
Or
like,
a
I don't
PS3.
Have either.
Yeah.
All I have is my PC. So it's nice as long as I can feel like I can get through at least 2 games a month.
All
then I would
Bioshocks.
Think that it would be worth the $20.
Yeah, maybe maybe you're going on vacation for a couple weeks or something, so you buy 1 month worth.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Just play, you know.
Yeah. No, and so it's...
Double Dragon Neon!
Oh, shit. All right, I'm sold.
Dynasty Warriors. Holy shit, there's a lot
I
of
love
them.
Dynasty Warriors.
Seven
Talk about a hack and slash heaven.
Empires, Extreme Legends, Dynasty Warriors 8, and Strike Force. Damn.
Fortunately, no Metal Gear. I was a little disappointed about that.
Really?
It's not a PlayStation game.
Punch him right in the head.
Oh, shit, all the Infamous games. Injustice! Fuck yes! I can't wait till
Josh
comes
is spending
out.
$20 a month.
I don't have a PlayStation.
That's what this is for.
But guys, I don't get it.
I don't understand what's going on.
What?
See what I did there?
No, I think you legitimately screwed up and then you went for the save move.
On this game that you guys are playing, it doesn't matter which ones you connect as long as you connect four.
No, we have to connect two of them in this case.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if... I think it's 1-to-1, right, John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, but you could connect, like, the one on the bottom left to the one on the top left. And,
yeah.
There's a crossover, but yeah.
Then which one's really connected to what?
A while back, we talked about Juno, the mission to... I think Mike's here. We talked about Juno and the mission to Jupiter. And yes, over the weekend, they completed their first full orbit of the planet Jupiter. Now, preliminary data is going to take a while to get back to us. It's, what, like a fucking couple hours.
It takes a bit of time.
Who is it?
But NASA scientists are currently optimistic. Mission managers said early returns from the data were promising, but cautioned it would still take more days to download all the information collected by the spacecraft and to begin to assess what it means. Although photography is not the principal aim of the mission, NASA intends to release images taken during the flyby during the next week or so. Do you see how fast they were going past the planet?
208,000 kilometers an hour.
Relative to the planet.
So we're going to get some of the most high-definition pictures of Jupiter we've ever seen.
With some of the best motion blur.
At a distance of what they said was like the distance from L.A. to New York.
Yeah, it's 4,200
less
kilometers.
Which is damn close. Yeah. Damn close.
Yeah, to a planet that big.
So you're
going to
eat the whole time?
Did you buy us anything? Oh, our guest is here, by the way, who we talked about already.
Hi, guest.
You can actually see a little... No, that's... No. Yeah, you can totally see
you can hear him. Like, you can hear him, like, scrunching his food bags
and stuff. Yeah, it's good to hear me.
What kind of food did you get yourself? Kentucky Fried
That's what chicken. Took him so long. Apparently, the drive-thru is
out
very
of order.
Busy right now.
Weak excuse, man.
No, they're just always back.
What?
I'm always backed up.
I don't know what you're saying.
Your game's backed up.
Okay. What I did note about come on, John.
Dude, wow, that looked really good for anybody watching.
I just want to get my man tits in your face.
What I also did note about this story about Juno was this is the first of 36 planned orbits, but they expect after 20 or so, radiation is going to start to fuck with the electrical instruments and start to degrade the spacecraft.
Yeah, it looked like they didn't expect all of the instruments to be able to make the full 32
orbits.
Right.
The hope is that they will all survive, but it's likely that some of the more delicate ones won't last through the radiation.
So
that's why they're taking such ecliptic orbits.
Yeah.
Going pole to pole and...
And going so far out and coming in close so they can
being microwaved
lower
for 32
the amount
orbits.
Of radiation it's getting.
I will say also that I mentioned that the primary goal isn't photography, it's to actually find out what's at the core of Jupiter. And so there's another article here we have that kind of hypothesizes what the different cores would be. One of the ideas is that it's a metallic hydrogen core, and it's
no one can see
that. Pretty awesome. because I never knew that. I've never seen hydrogen as a solid ever, not even in like sci-fi.
Yeah, they say under those pressures, they expect it to be similar to like mercury.
Oh, okay.
Inconsistency. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess they are pretty close on the periodic table, so it would make sense as far as left or right.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's how it reacts to those pressures and temperature.
Yeah.
But nobody really knows is the point. So some people think that there is probably... Some people think there might be a solid core, and some people think it's just that metallic hydrogen in the whole core.
I hope there's something there, because they're going to crash this thing at the end.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that somewhere on Jupiter in the metallic core we hear a dink.
I doubt we'll get any readings back by the time.
We won't.
Well, you remember the lunar spike I talked about a long time ago? They should have brought one of those with them.
The lunar spike.
Yeah,
it was the rocket ship that they launched into the. They wanted to launch into the moon.
I
that
do
would
remember.
Then deposit that spike.
I do remember that. Yeah. Whatever happened to that, John?
Well, nobody wants to spend that much money to launch a shitty time capsule into the moon.
Speaking of whatever happened to that. Did you show me the picture of them laying on top of the rocket launcher for the Megabot? Is that what they were doing?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We talked about Megabot versus Kurosawa or something like that a long time ago, but that fight's still on, and Adam showed me a picture a while back of, like, one of the creators laying on top of this, like, 12-foot arm cannon for the new Megabot.
Every once in a while, they tweet out new parts when they finish building certain parts of it.
Now,
stuff.
This fight between Kurosawa and the Megabot, there's still no date, right?
Oh, no.
No.
No, because the Megabot's not finished.
Yeah. It takes a while to build
a
giant robot.
And then there's a testing phase.
But we backed their Kickstarter.
No, we
did
didn't.
You?
No. But I can still be outraged that they're not done yet.
I kind of want to back their Kickstarter. Or I wanted to.
Yeah. I don't know. It's still going to happen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Look forward for more updates. We'll probably follow Juno pretty closely because I think it's really cool. Even if I'm not... Like, I'm only going to be a host over here for another week, So even if I'm not over here, I'll interrupt you guys where Adam is. I don't know. Like, hey, fuckers, Juno.
I enjoy myself over here. I might kick you out from time to time and do this again.
I'm excited to see the pictures that come out of this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's going to be great. I hope.
Yeah. I'm also too excited to see what comes out of the next story we got.
Oh, okay, yeah. So NASA wants to drop a submarine into Titan's methane ocean, Kraken Mare, and Titan's a moon of Saturn.
Really? I love the name. Yes. Love the name.
Yeah, Kraken Mare.
Yeah.
Like female horse kraken.
Yeah, it's the largest ocean on Titan. They have a couple goals for this mission. One of them is to first to figure out if hydrocarbon-based life is possible under those conditions. And another goal is to just to figure out the composition under it. Yeah. I did, but your screen's larger than mine.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The interest in it is because it's a lot, even though, you know, it's methane oceans and stuff, it's the only moon in our solar system with clouds and an atmosphere. So it's similar to Earth in that aspect.
The thing about this submarine, though, is that, like, once it goes under the methane lake or ocean, we lose all communication with it.
Yeah.
So it has to be 100% autonomous. Now, there are drones right now that are close to that, but they still need input from us or a program, right?
Right.
They can't adapt to new things.
Like, for the rovers and stuff, they usually update, like, a path for it to follow every so often. So, like, they'll upload a path, and it'll follow that path, and then they'll figure out based off its surroundings where to go from there.
Do you think it would make more sense before we send the submarine to send, like, a satellite light to do kind of what we're doing with Jupiter right now?
Well, it depends.
Do we have anything that could see the bottom of the ocean from space? No? No way to, like, map it?
They could probably map it by, like,
like some kind of crazy sonar.
Infrared. Stuff like that, radar.
But, I mean, it might make more sense because then they might have something to work with when they're, you know, trying to tell that submarine what to do.
I mean, I don't know the specifics of how this mission is going to go. I would imagine, though, that the craft that takes the submarine over could also act as a, like, a mapping satellite.
Yeah. And they're saying they're not even sure if their buoy system is going to work with the pressurized methane ocean.
No.
They're not positive. I wonder, how are they even going to...
The ballast.
So how are they going to test that?
Try to simulate the same conditions.
Well, obviously. But, I mean, shit. How would you do that? You, like, fill up a swimming pool with liquid methane and pressurize it?
I forgot to add this to the news, but the experiments to simulate Mars' atmosphere ended this week.
Yeah.
The year-long one where they simulated Mars.
On Hawaii?
Volcanic area? I can't remember exactly where it was.
Yeah.
But there was an AMA request on Reddit, and it got a bunch of attention. No one did anything. But I think, oh, man, that'd be so cool. God, that'd be awesome. Because you still have, like, you're still safe on Earth, so if you really start to freak out, you're like...
Let me out!
I mean, you try your hardest not to, like, leave, but, you know, at the same time, you're like, fuck this!
I don't know. I'm really excited to see what comes out of this submarine thing, though.
Yeah, it could be cool.
Love to find life in our own backyards, basically.
Yeah. I doubt that there will be massive, massive creatures on Titan.
Whatever. Probably it's called Kraken, bro.
Probably not. But like, I was talking about it before the show. There was a comment on Reddit saying about how if a giant monster came out and just ate this thing right away, you know.
Well, what would happen? And you're like, well,
that would be one of the best possible things that could happen. You know? We'd have a new space race.
Yeah, right? And Adam doesn't mean like a new racial part of space. He means like we have a new reason to get to another planet or to get into space. Space race like the moon was a space race.
Why?
Like the space race.
Why not?
So we can get eaten by the monster?
You wouldn't want to find out more about it?
No, it's gonna eat me.
Well, you're not going to be the scientist going on that expedition.
And you're not
going
to be the autonomous submarine, so...
I would most definitely want to find out more about that.
I would vote Mike aboard, for the record. I would put you on that ship, Mike.
I'd vote you off the island.
Actually, I don't know if I would.
I would love to see that.
He wouldn't enjoy it.
I would... A one-way trip to Mars reality TV show.
I want
to
vote this game off.
I would enjoy the shit out of that show, and you don't get a say here.
Is it too complicated for you to understand, Mike?
You want us to play Inside, right? Yeah, we'll do that soon.
Maybe.
Spite. Real spite.
I don't like his fucking attitude.
So puzzle games aren't your thing, huh, Mike?
As we move away,
not enough basketball.
I get it. They require brain power and
as we move away back into space from Mike's retardation, we have more news about SETI. And SETI is the satellite network in Arizona, New Mexico,
somewhere.
Yeah, and it listens to it listens to and sends radio signals into space. If you saw the movie Contact. SETI was a big part of that. And they've received a strong signal from a near sun-like solar system. Now, this doesn't mean much as far as, like, sentience or whatever. They're still trying to guess what it is. But it's an indicative that there's still a reason to go out and look for stuff in space.
Right. In fact, this article, they specifically say this is... No one's saying that this is... extraterrestrial from intelligent life.
Yeah,
you know,
no one is claiming that this is the work of an extraterrestrial civilization, but it certainly is worth further study. Working out the strength of the signal, the researchers say that if it came from an isotropic beacon, it would be of a power possible only to a Kardashev Type 2 civilization.
Harnessing the power of a star.
Yeah, fully harnessing the power of a star.
Fully, man.
Yep.
Fully. If it were a narrow beam signal focused on our solar system, it would be of a power available of a Kardashev Type 1 civilization, which is us, right?
Right.
It's
a broad group, but we would fall under that type. So it could possibly be a civilization doing the same thing we're doing,
mm-hmm.
and just sending out signals to different stars.
Hey,
you know,
we got something to say.
Problem is, you have to wait like 190 years to get a reply back.
Yeah.
So
they said hi. Like, how fucked is that?
When they mean near solar or near sun, it's 0.99 times the size of our sun, so it's a little smaller.
Right.
They estimate the age at 6.3 billion years, and 95 light years from Earth.
Right. Which, by age, puts it in a good spot to have intelligent life.
Mm-hmm. Because what, we're four?
Well, they said it was in the Goldilocks zone, right, of orbiting.
Yeah.
Just right.
Yeah.
Did you make that up?
No, it's literally
okay.
What it's called. Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him to make that up.
But no, this isn't. We have no idea what planet this is. This is a radio signal coming from a star.
We know that
there's a Neptune-sized planet orbiting around. Yeah, it went a little out of order. There's a Neptune. Yeah, you did.
I did.
He did.
I did.
Oh, shit. No, I didn't.
Yeah. There's a Neptune-sized planet orbiting around this star.
Yeah.
Pretty fast, too. I think it said it's in, like, a 40-day orbit or something.
Yeah, 40-day orbit.
So it would be really close to the...
Do you think I know, like, on Earth, like, we don't feel the orbit even though we're traveling insanely fast.
Mm.
Now, on something like that, though, is there a limit to how fast a planet can travel before you feel it when you're on the surface?
No, not really, because if your life that evolved on that planet, you would have evolved under those conditions, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, if we went there,
I'm sure we would notice a difference on Mercury.
That would be the least of our worries on Mercury.
I was
going to
say, isn't it a little warm there? Heard it gets a little toasty.
We're assuming we can travel to Mercury. We are assuming a couple of
things,
too.
Just a few.
But it's likely that if there is life in that system, it's probably not on the planet that we know is there. If they were looking at us with the same technology that we're looking at them, they would only be able to see like Jupiter and Saturn and Neptune.
Oh.
They would never be able to detect us from that distance and our size, you know.
Well, me going out of order, sorry about that. What is the one that we were supposed to talk about next?
Well, I did want to say one thing that I had thought about before the show on this, because we joked about like the monster on Titan eating the thing. This would be interesting too, because I don't know how motivated people would get, even if it was a direct message that made it very clear that it came from another intelligent life. That's 95 light years away. Like, there's really a good chance that we'll never be able to get there.
Aww.
You know, with conventional rockets, it's going to take something like, I think, 160,000 years or something to get there.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was also noticing how complicated Peter's fucking puzzle is right here. He's only got, they change as you go.
That then becomes the problem. Even if we were to find out for sure there's life in this star system, what could we do about it, you know?
Yeah.
And we can't communicate with a 95-year delay from sending one message, you
know? Can we take a quick second here for the game?
Sure.
So, Peter, can you go back to the briefing? Your briefing off the left?
Yeah.
So here now, see, this is what's changed since the puzzle's gotten more advanced, is now he has a minimum count of red chips at each blue is 2.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to have two red chips at each blue.
What's awesome about listening to the audio show after the fact is you can hear Peter cracking his knuckles.
Yep.
I tried, I couldn't do it. Oh, I bet that sounds awesome
For you guys.
For you, audio listeners. Have you ever heard Penny Arcade does this at their panels. Have you ever heard them do the, like, everybody in the room crack their knuckles?
Uh-uh.
It sounds so gross. It sounds so disgusting.
Yeah.
So,
it's not the best sound in the world.
To,
feels great, though.
Yeah, I bet. To, steer us back on track, what was the thing that I was supposed to talk about but skipped?
Yeah, I feel like it's not as exciting as the SETI one, but...
I don't feel as bad.
That's why I left the SETI one for last. But basically, we found a planet in the habitable zone of Proxima Centauri, which is our closest neighboring star. It's only about 4.2 light years away. Doesn't mean much more than all of the other planets we found now inside a Goldilocks zone, but it is the closest one, and it's our best chance at being able to send anything out to another star. You know, in fact, there is already a mission. The name of it escapes me right now, but there is a mission to send like a stream of satellites out past that star system, like tiny little satellites that are only like maybe I want to say like an inch by an inch in size. You know. Yeah.
How long would it take those satellites to get there?
Once they send them off, I feel like we talked about it before. They were gonna be pushed by light cells, and they were gonna have light cells on them and be pushed by a ground-based laser. Fuck, I can't talk.
Project Longshot.
Sharks with freaking laser beams.
Conceptual interstellar spacecraft designed. It would be an unmanned probe intended to fly to enter orbit around Alpha Centauri.
Yeah, it was going to take about like 22 years to get there, I think is what they expected. Oh, wow. It'd be the fastest moving thing we've put into space yet.
That
would
have to be Hall, because that's another star system. Those are not exactly close.
Right, well, yeah, it's 4.2 light years away. So
it takes light 4.2 years to get there.
Right, so we have to be going a significant percentage of light speed to...
So if we're going to shoot a laser at this sail to help accelerate, does it just mean like every time the Earth comes in rotation, we're just going to go pew?
Pretty much, yeah. Whenever we're lined up with we'll shoot it, and then that'll propel it a little further, accelerate it a little further, you know. Because it's going further than what our star could produce solar winds anymore, you know.
Right.
You missed.
I believe the idea was they were going to be like just a stream of really small ones that they would send out, so each one would relay a little bit of data back. Because they're going to be, it's going to be flying through this whole star system in like 20 minutes or something like that by the time it gets, there's no way to slow it down.
They like relay.
Comes, there it goes.
Yeah.
They like relay information back down the chain.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's exciting. Was that, when you looked it up, was that for Alpha Centauri? Because this is Proxima Centauri. I thought it was the same one, but either way, it's very interesting to see. It would be very interesting to see a whole other star system.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
You know, Mike asked earlier why we're excited about space and stuff, and the reason is because it extends us away from, like, civilizations that are country-based and kind of makes us start considering ourselves as Earthlings.
True.
The reason I think that point is important, because back to the SETI story, Russia knew about this a year ago.
Yeah.
They had detected this a year ago, and they didn't tell anyone. And that is solely a political choice.
Yeah, that part I didn't see where it said that in the article.
I saw that. I didn't see... Did they give a reason or anything? Mm-hmm. Or no, okay.
No, yeah, but I can only assume it's political.
Probably... they should. Science is always better if it's open, you know, and they just...
Open source science.
Yeah, but that's science not controlled by government.
Right. Which is...
What, you think Russia controls stuff? things.
You think they do that? Not, bruh.
Russia's not controlling, man. They're pretty cool.
They're Russia. Trying to hijack our election.
Russia's hella mel, bro. Stands for mellow.
It would be pretty
no,
crazy.
It's pretty much, that's like Russia's MO, though. Like, they like to do their own thing, and they don't like to join in with the other kids.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it sucks, but, I mean, we still found out about it, so I guess it's not that
yeah.
bad.
Yeah, right. I don't know if you mentioned it earlier when we were talking about SETI, but that they're talking about making it a permanent location that they keep broadcasting to.
Oh, the spot in space
the
where
spot
the signal
that
came
that
from?
That we saw the signal, yeah. Like, that they're just trying to get it, that should be a permanent spot that we keep
Are
sending
others?
Signal to. You know.
Are there others?
Other spots that they keep looking yeah. at? I don't know, actually.
You'd think we'd pick, like, our closest neighbor, right?
Yeah, but then how long do you... That's the problem. Like, how long do you wait before you're... Oh, we're not getting any message.
Well, it's constant, permanent, right? So it doesn't matter?
Yeah, but then you're taking away from the possibility of doing the other ones.
True.
You know? If you're devoting one array to
build more arrays. that's my solution to that problem. There's not much in that fucking desert.
But anyway, hopefully we're getting a little closer to maybe finding something out there.
Even if we just find microbes, man.
Oh yeah, that's yeah.
We need someone to prove that God is like not existent. For God's sake.
We need them.
Bad,
they would,
dude.
They would 100% deny it. They would just like they do with
God put it there.
Words.
It's all part of God's plan.
It's all part of God's plan.
It's God's plan to put doubt in your heart.
I love Jim Jefferies is like, when the planet gets rid of us, it's going to go, doing dinosaurs again.
It's like pouting.
Yeah. So the last things we got are game-based. Over the course of July and part of August, lots of hype about a couple games, one of them being Pokemon Go, the other one being No Man's Sky. Both those games have seen a steady decline in user base, sales, and not updates, though. They're still fully supported.
Yeah.
For one of them, for Pokemon Go, that's kind of indicative of most mobile games.
That's what I was thinking. That should be kind of expected, so...
But not at the... Not from the massive high to this now lower low.
Yeah, well, Nintendo's just mad they're not making like $1 million a day off of it now anymore, so...
Yeah.
They made a lot of money already,
yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, the difference in No Man's Sky is there's been a 80% drop in sales, but think about it, if you buy... Like, if Call of Duty releases, of course there's going to be an 80% drop in sales after the first week, because everybody's fucking got the game.
Right.
Yeah. Especially that many
I'm
buyers.
Not going to keep buying a fucking game.
Yeah, I've seen this posted a couple times now about how the sales have dropped 80%, but... First off, the list is only from retail copies, so it doesn't include any digitally bought games through, like, Steam or GOG or any PC players at all, really.
Yeah.
So, but I've also seen it said that, like, even, you know, it should be expected. Like, even Uncharted 4 dropped, I think, 78% mm-hmm. after 2 or 3 weeks in sales also.
But then, like I said, it's a duh. People
yeah.
have the game.
The more telling one is the drop in the user base.
Yeah.
There was, I think that was around the 80% mark, too, or so.
Yeah.
If I remember right.
User base drops 90% in
90%.
2 weeks.
Shit, that's even more.
Yeah.
That probably could be a combination of things, though. Like, just people getting to the point where they explored so much that now it's all the same, mm-hmm. you know, and they're
or
done with
they
it.
Or they beat the game.
Or they beat the game.
Well, how about you? Are you still putting the same amount of hours in?
I actually haven't played all last week, but we've been playing a bit for the podcast here.
They still keep you interested?
Yeah, no, I'm still enjoying the game. Yeah, I've, like I've said before, I'm like 25 hours in now, and I haven't even started the story, like the...
And we're having a great
mission
time.
The mission to Alice, yeah. That's probably the next thing I'll start doing is following the actual storyline, but...
But one thing that does kind of hit the drop is that PlayStation 4 players are having a lot of problems with
yeah.
the game. Normally this is seen on the PC side, and it's kind of nice that for once PC's doing a little bit better. I'm not a part of any master or anything.
Yeah.
I like consoles just as much as I like PC gaming.
PC Master Race.
But see, there's them. There's the, like PC Master Races are now like, yes. Yeah. They get a win, you know?
I saw
some complaints saying like on the PS4 the FPS dropped down to like 20 for certain parts of the game.
And that would suck.
That's ridiculous.
That's almost unplayable. I've been playing Arkham Knight, and my computer's not optimized for that game at all. So there was a lot of choppiness, but I was still able to get through it.
That game's not optimized for any computer.
true.
Hey, it runs nice and smooth on my machine.
Does it?
Yeah.
I heard there were still some issues, so I haven't tried it myself. But
I mean, every once in a while, you like a little clipping and stuff and a stutter. But I mean, at least for me, it's few and far between.
Yeah.
I will say that it is not surprising about still a percentage loss in No Man's Sky because of the difference between what was hyped and what was delivered.
Oh,
I'm not
yeah.
saying the game developers did anything wrong in any way. In fact,
they may have, though.
Their day one update was so wide and all-encompassing that it was great. Like, it changed most of the game.
They do... I don't know. Yeah, they have updated a lot, and they have fixed a lot of the issues that were happening at launch. But there was a lot of things that they said were going to be in the game that weren't. And I understand, you know, that sometimes maybe developers will think they can do more than they actually can in the amount of time they have and stuff like that. But at least come out and say that. Don't just now go dark and not
give
too
many. Are they dark,
though? For answering problems, yeah.
Oh, okay. But not for support or continuing to, like, promise free DLC.
Right. They've still communicated with stuff like that, and they have communicated with, like, patch notes and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But anytime people have been asking them direct questions, they kind of just ignore it, you know.
It's lame.
Well, how many questions are they getting, though?
From Reddit?
There's I don't know, an entire Reddit post where you have to scroll down to read all the promises that were made that mm-hmm. weren't delivered.
Yeah.
And, like, links to the video where the developer said that this would be in there and it's not, you know. It's probably a good list of, like, 40, 50 different things, so.
But the amount of users dropped from, what was it, 212,000 to 17,000? 212,000 on launch day to 17,400 now.
Yeah.
And this article was written.
That's a big drop, so.
This article was written something like Sunday or something like that. Now, that's a big drop. That's fucking almost 200. That's almost 200,000 people not playing your game anymore. But that's not the sizable drop that Pokemon Go lost. From 40 million users or 30 million users or 35 or let's see.
From 40 to 30, wasn't it?
Yeah. So it went from 45 million daily users in July. This figure appears to have sunk by more than 12 million since the start of August to just over 30 million still playing Pokemon Go. So from, yeah, this miming thing is great.
Yeah.
Blocking my fucking shot.
It's really hard, so sometimes just a little.
So 10 million is way more than 200,000. That's a lot.
I mean, it's a few.
I'm not surprised. At all.
I'm not playing it anymore. I mean, I enjoyed the hell out of it for like the first two weeks.
That was my next question. Do you three play?
No.
No,
I haven't played Pokemon Go in a hot minute.
No, not at all.
I fucking called it. It was just a fad, man. Nuh-uh. At the time, you guys were like, I'm playing this game forever. Well, at least you were.
No, I don't think the words ever came out of my mouth.
I was going to say, I know for a fact I never said forever. I just did want to jump on the fad train, though, because all my homies were going down to the marina at night.
It was a good time. Middle of the summer, like, hanging out. Out at home, sitting in a fucking chair.
Limping around with a bad knee.
No.
Was that a dig at
Mark? A lot of people that I knew weren't playing that game aren't anymore. So, or at least not that I see, you know.
People at work aren't playing anymore.
One thing I did want to say about No Man's Sky is I feel like one of its biggest problems was just in the fact that it got overhyped and got too many people.
This one? I can't
Now kiss.
I got too many people into it that really didn't know what to expect from it. I'm enjoying it because it was pretty much exactly what I expected. You know?
And we've been saying that for a while.
Yeah, I feel like people that are in that boat, like you are, that expect pretty much what it delivered, are going to continue enjoying
right.
It's not a game for everybody.
Like, one of the biggest complaints, I mean, it's legitimate because the developer, Sean Murray, did say that you would be able to physically see each other in the game.
I remember
in
that
game.
In the E3 conference.
Yeah, you would be able to see each other, that it was just very slim chance that you would ever find people, you know?
Yeah,
And now there's been a few times already proven that you can't see other people. And then, in fact, people have taken apart the code and seen that there's no net code for that at all, you know? It's not even a part of the game, which...
Do we know what, like...
It's most of the files are compressed in a PS4 format.
Okay.
So they're like MBIN files, I think, or something like that.
Interesting.
So people are having a hell of a time reverse engineering it for mods. But there are pretty cool mods out already. There's a low flight one where you can actually crash into a planet now.
Really?
And you can fly into caves and stuff like that.
What? That's fucking sick.
Yeah.
That already makes the game more exciting. Like, me wanting to get
the modding community usually fixes whatever problems that they can, at least.
Hey, can I borrow your computer for like a week?
No, but you're here most of the time anyway. So.
Yeah, but we never play No Man's Sky unless we're recording.
Adam, you need to install that mod for our third No Man's Sky video.
Yeah, I plan on it. I will. Because I want to check that mod out for sure, too.
Will that also let you just accidentally not warp into a planet, but what's the highest acceleration that you have when you're in a system?
I would imagine it would still slow down your pulse engine when you get into the atmosphere. But other than that, yeah, you could still boost straight into the ground if you wanted to.
Restarted, I think
I mean,
would probably lose ourselves.
Yeah,
I would name something like the crack of John's ass and then crash into it.
Continuously. Yeah.
But what I was saying is, like, on Steam, they've always said the game was single player. Mm-hmm. You know, so I wasn't really looking forward necessarily to multiplayer on it only anyway.
Right?
You
the
know?
Point of, like, I'm going to hunt down my friend for 6 months.
Yeah.
I just found you. Cool. I'm going to go that way.
To fly around from planet to planet and see the crazy fucking procedurally generated creatures that pop up.
Like giant butterfly dinosaurs.
You know.
We made... your video was great.
Yeah.
Like, I know we all made the video, but Adam edited that very well. The phallus lizard. So, you know, we were done with the video, and then I saw that, and I was like, get it!
Yeah. definitely worth watching. Go to our YouTube channel and find that.
Yeah. Boo Boo lied.
Honey Boo Boo?
Have you guys watched the video yet?
Peter's
of course.
Boo-boo.
Oh, no, okay.
What was the first thing I named, John?
Did we have something else? Oh, do you want to talk about the Steam refunds on No Man's Sky?
Oh, yeah. So
there's been a ton of No Man's Sky news for the last...
2 weeks?
6 months. Yeah. I don't know. But, yeah, for sure the last couple weeks. So
Steam normally has a policy where they refund you as long as you've played under 2 hours of a game, which is still, that's really high. I mean, if you don't know you're going to like a game after 2 hours, then you're really not gaming right.
You're not doing it right.
You're not. I mean, yeah. I knew right away whether or not I would like, I don't know, WoW or fucking Shadow of Mordor, Batman. I knew right away. This game, I don't know, I've never played it.
I don't need to.
For those of you listening, Mike said he didn't need to. But okay. for No Man's Sky, they're offering refunds up to 70 hours.
So well, yes.
Then get your money back.
That's stealing.
Yeah.
I mean,
some of the.
Is, but...
I mean, it is. You know.
Now I don't know how many people with that many hours in have actually been able to successfully do it, but because they have turned a few down, mm-hmm. and a lot of it is as long as you go in to it telling them like about you know false advertisement and fraud and stuff like that, like that you were promised stuff you can get, kinda. That gotcha. They've been doing it. But I believe since then they've cracked down because someone posted this on Reddit that they found out how and basically wrote out like a guide on how to get your money back, you know?
Really?
So, yeah. So Valve kind of put a stop to it and made a statement saying like that there'll be no special treatment for this game, you know, that it
really
stick to the rules. So
there shouldn't be.
No.
Yeah.
It is crazy that people... people are taking, say they took so long for them to figure it out. Now, like I said, I did think it was funny because I saw a Reddit post that said, I'm tired of people complaining, you know, that I want to return a game after I played 50 hours after there's like some 6 million some odd hours worth of gameplay. So he's like, I'm really only returning 0.01% of the game. So he's like, I don't think it's that unreasonable. But at the same time, it's like, you've played plenty of the game to get your money's worth. You should at least definitely not get a full refund.
I think it's pretty unreasonable.
I think that you could get, like, half your money back, you know, under a threshold.
Maybe. I think maybe they should have looked at it to, like, I don't know, maybe, like, a 10-hour limit or, you know.
That seems way more fair.
Right, but 30-plus hours, that's you could have just beaten the game and
that's
returned it.
That's most games.
You know, yeah. If you get 30 hours out of a game, it's done pretty good.
Well, and it's dangerous for Valve.
Unless you're just hating it the whole time. Like, all those 30 hours are just full of, oh, this game fucking sucks. I hate this game so much.
Hey, bro, did you play Call of Duty Ghosts? Yeah, dude, I hate played it. What do you mean you hate played it? Well, I hated all of it, but I had to finish it. Why? So I could tell everybody how much it sucked. All right.
Well, good on you for wasting your time, sir.
Right?
I don't know. They always say you shouldn't pre-order games if you're not going to be happy with how it turns out.
That
you know.
Should good never argument. Pre-order games.
Absolutely.
I pre-ordered one game thus last year.
Fool.
GTA 5. Got $1 million. It was the best decision I made when we started playing GTA Online.
But GTA 5, you were going to buy regardless.
Oh, yeah, I knew. You and know? I knew it was good. Rocksteady hasn't done a bad game.
Rockstar. Yeah.
And Rocksteady. Rocksteady hasn't done a bad game.
And the GTA games have improved every single one.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't expect them really to fuck this one up.
Yeah.
Still haven't played the campaign for that.
I mean,
super fun.
I know.
That's one benefit we have, you know, as consumers. You can watch reviews online.
It's true.
Like, that's within hours of the game's release, and you can start seeing if it's going to be something you like.
So there's two things I wanted to bring up. One of them is, do you remember, Adam and I watch a channel on YouTube called Funhouse. Go subscribe to them. They're awesome. Do you remember Spool and his whole, like, $1 for 1 minute, or $1, 1 hour, or something like that?
So a $60 game, you should get 60 hours of play. Entertainment.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't get it from that, but that's always been my thing with video games as well.
That's a rule of thumb.
I think it's ridiculous. You should not get 60 hours of play out of a fucking AAA game. That's ridiculous. No game lives up to that.
There's
except for, like, Witcher.
Skyrim.
Yeah, but
GTA.
That is I don't
but
know.
But those are open world. What about Call of Duty? That's easily a fucking 15-hour campaign.
That's
at
also
that.
Sold on its multiplayer as well.
Sure.
Hands on.
I mean, yes, I do see what you're saying. There are a lot of games to where, like, BioShock, all the BioShock games. No way you're gonna get 60 hours out of those. But I mean, I play the shit out of three.
I think it depends very much on the game. First off, just if you enjoyed it or not. You know.
True.
But I feel like if you get at least 20 to 30 hours out of it, you're good. Yeah. You know,
I'm actually
the
net,
game's done its job. Then
I'm net positive. I got Witcher 3 for free, and I have 127 hours into that game.
I have a lot of games on Steam, and I haven't played most of them, so I'm definitely negative.
For this one being 99 cents, we've already gotten almost an hour into it. You guys are way positive on this one.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Peter just saw the vastness of the game.
Yeah, it was pretty big.
And then you have games like Kerbal Space Program that I paid $25 for and have over 1,000 hours.
Yeah,
into,
exactly.
So.
And I had two things and I can't remember what the second one was. So that's it for news.
Well, do we want to talk about this fancy video game that Mike hates so much?
I don't know. Do you? It's your game.
Well, not anymore. Not with that kind of attitude.
Burn!
Yes, John, tell us about...
Oh, no, that ship has sailed, Adam.
Oh, it has it?
Yeah.
All right, well, it's your job to fill the next 10 minutes, so...
Does anybody have an empty bottle?
Is it going to be full of hot air when you're done?
Yeah, probably.
No, it'll be full of 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Bottle it up, cap it.
Touché, sir.
No, this is Hexascope. It's a puzzle game. Mike's tiny little PlayStation brain can't grasp it, so he doesn't like it. But
I got a good chuckle out of him.
No, that's one thing I do like about Mike is he can dish it and take it.
Yeah.
Which is a requirement if you're going to be an asshole, you know?
There you go. What are you trying to say about me, John? What were you trying to say about me?
You take it like a champion.
right up the tail, right up the tailpipe.
No, and so as you can see, what we've been doing is basically you're trying to connect both power sources together by blocks. And in the first level, which the paradigm, they call it, which is a 10-level segment, was called geometry. And what got harder was then you had to have two reds. Like, to activate a blue right now, for instance, he only has to have one red touching it, right?
Yep.
But when it gets to two reds touching each blue, so like, only ones that two reds are touching the blue would it work. So, like, that one on the end wouldn't light up if that were the case. And that's where it gets harder, and you get progressively harder in this next stage because of what he's going through in this paradigm. I think they reset all that to let you figure it out and then go forward again.
It's kind of low resource now. I don't have a lot to work with here.
Yeah, and now, that was something I was going to tell you, but I never found a good time, so I just let you struggle.
So I just stood in front of it and was, like, pointing.
These levels are puzzle pieces are procedurally generated, which means on rare occasion the puzzle is unsolvable.
Really?
How rare? Yes.
Have you come across that yet?
I'm pretty sure we might have. You know,
when we were playing where you had to have two reds next to a blue, you could fuck yourself over.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I did it once and, like, cut off half my path and could not figure out how to get back to it.
Oh, shit. Because
the piece I needed, I sent way over.
Yeah. There's an undo button, but it's not like, you know,
it's
you can't
like
control
Premiere
Z
where you
50
can undo
times.
50 times back.
Is it just the last move, or?
I think
there
is.
Yeah, get off me. Yeah. I'm being molested again, and I'm not even getting paid extra. So you have the undo button. You have the briefing on the side, which tells you how many red to blue ratio you got to operate with. You can reset the puzzles really easy, and it's got that super soothing music that plays in the background that I'm sure you all have been listening to intently.
Peter also made a Triforce.
I've also I made sure to turn it down on the computer, and it was way loud when we started.
And the levels are still a little loud, but it's tolerable.
Oh, then turn it down on the keyboard just a little bit. You'll see the volume show up on the top left of your first monitor there.
Oh.
However you're hearing it in the headphones is how the audio listeners are going to hear it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So if it's way loud, my bad.
So this game on Steam Spy had a score rank of 98%. And a user score of 97%. There's like 150-something
totally
reviews and 5 negative.
So that's really weird because an average rating of never mind, I lost the joke.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm not sure where that was going.
Done.
It does have a very positive...
I was going to get there.
It does have a very positive rating on Steam.
That's what I was going for. It's very negative.
What?
Yep. See, I lost the joke.
I did see that very positive rating earlier.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's negative.
He's trying really hard to bring that back in.
Like sexy.
But the thing I thought was funny is I thought more people would have owned this. Roughly just under 6,000, but there's a pretty big plus or minus, so it could be anywhere from, like, 4,300 to, like, you know, 7,000-something, possibly.
That is a big variance.
So, well, that's just Steam Spy, though, because they have a natural, they always have, it's like plus or minus 1,800 or something crazy. 1,974, plus or minus 1,974. I still thought the fact that the user score and the score rank were so closely together, because most games that is not the case.
Yeah.
Like, either the score rank will be in the 70s and the user score will be in the high 80s or 90s, or it could be vice versa. Like, it's the 2-to-1.
So you guys will see that. You'll see, like, right now I only have one here instead of two, so nothing is actually
activatable. So yeah, this is where it gets kind of fucked.
So you have to go. You kind of have to see this path right here. I can get some extra if I. Do you see this X?
Just to get the extra pieces, basically.
Yeah, just to get the extra pieces, even if it goes the wrong direction.
Right.
Now I have more resources.
Exactly, and you have to do that quite a bit. I'm not huge into puzzle games, mainly because my frustration level is, I cap pretty quickly.
What's funny is his last two games have been puzzle games.
Mike's agreeing in the corner.
Well, the other one was a first-person shooter puzzle game, so that was a little bit different.
What's that main thing that connects to both of them?
These things?
Puzzle. Shooting. Oh. Also, I'm a big fan of the little island in the puzzle that does absolutely nothing.
Right in the middle?
Yeah, the
up there.
On the top left.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's procedurally generated, so.
Right. But there's no way to get a thing up there, then, if you have to have...
Sure, shape there is. Always you just have to learn how to do it.
How?
There's teach no us. Way. I don't know. I'm just trying to... I'm fighting for the game here. No.
You it shouldn't looks, have to fight for it.
It seems entertaining.
It's super entertaining.
I think you're just getting so much grief from so Mike over here that...
Yeah, I haven't now really I'm self-conscious said about my puzzle. Because I'm enjoying the game.
Yeah.
It's very enthralling.
Thunder gun.
It is. Once you get going, like, once you get started, you get it figured out. I like the tutorial in it, too. The tutorial, when you're starting from scratch without playing it, it gets you going pretty good. Like, it sets everything up in a way that you can get in. And the whole first puzzle is tutorialized when you start the game for the first time. And then the next puzzle, there is no hints or clues, but the tutorial does such a good job. I mean, you just cruise. I had to restart a couple times. I've painted myself into corners where I'm just like, I don't think I can recover. Like, but I don't know. So you guys been watching. Josh, what do you think?
I think I'd never buy this game, but I don't like puzzle games.
Yeah.
The only puzzle game that I could say I actually enjoyed was Portal and Portal 2.
Zelda!
So, what?
Zelda.
That's an adventure puzzle game?
It's a
mostly
puzzle
adventure game.
Mostly an adventure game?
Yeah. Mostly.
That's all I wanted to do. For
the only time puzzles okay. show up is in dungeons, whereas the rest of the game is this interactive, almost RPG.
Yeah.
And the last time I played a Zelda game was fucking 6 years ago, so...
I remember the time.
I love
yeah,
this.
You were... Shit, we lived in the same apartment complex.
Yeah. I think I was even there when you beat that game.
Twilight Princess?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you were. It wasn't even in my room.
No. So is that all you got on Hexascope?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, there's not a lot.
Did you say who the developer was or anything like that?
Oh, no, I totally didn't. And I
Space Cadet.
That's all right. To the developer, they need to fix their website and create a Twitter page.
Yes.
Because why not?
You would not know we were talking about you.
Yeah, I tried for a little while there to find a Twitter account, but I just hashtagged it instead.
You should also know that you're not searchable on Twitch, so get on that as well.
So it is published by Studio Binocle?
Yep.
That's its developer. I'm sorry.
We'll just call it Binocle.
And the publisher is Sometimes You.
Yep. And Sometimes...
No, you.
Sometimes you has published a bunch
sometimes
of littler
you,
games.
And you,
and I think
cool.
as far as Studio Binocle, this is their first one. And I really don't know if it's Binocle or Binocle.
Binocle.
It's Binocle.
Do you remember Banaka?
Banaka.
Yeah. Do you have a breath mint? Banaka. Perhaps some Banaka. Asshole Lamio. Adam, you got a gadget?
I do. The wolf. Supercharge your laptop.
Your laptop.
I can't talk tonight.
What?
Huh? basically, this was a gadget pointed out to me by one of our listeners, Kyle. So
what up, K-Dog?
A nice shout out for him.
Hey, you never came. With
I don't
a
know
gadget.
Why Mike's laughing in the corner.
You
but...
never came with a gadget, there, little man. I almost thought you had a prosthetic leg for a second.
They were just like, we can't fix it, cut it off.
Dude, you look like that. It looks like that thing Batman puts on himself in Dark Knight Rises. You're gonna kick through a wall now, Mike? We're gonna get a picture of this for the end of the night.
Yeah.
We'll post it on our Facebook page.
So anyway, this is a Kickstarter for a gadget called the Wolf. And basically, it's pretty much an external video card for your laptop. For laptops with Thunderbolt 2 or 3. So it's
for Mac.
Well, mostly, but not only. There's other laptops that have a Thunderbolt connector. There's even some other boards with a Thunderbolt connector.
But it's mainly a Mac thing.
I think it's mainly a Mac thing because it's on pretty much every MacBook, yeah. I believe Thunderbolt was built from or like a partnership between Apple and Intel and stuff like that. Companies like that.
I could see that.
Could be wrong. But anyway, if you have a laptop and you want more, you want to be able to game better on it and have more graphical processing power, this is a good way to add it. And you have a Thunderbolt port. That's the important part. You have a MacBook though, don't you?
Thundercats. Yeah,
I wish I didn't.
Oh, so. Well, yeah, I don't have one.
Zynga. You can the buff totally stacks, so you can totally get more wolves.
Oh yes, I thought that was awesome too. You can put as many of them. They say on the Kickstarter you can put as many of them on your laptop as you have Thunderbolt ports. So you could have like two or three going at once.
Yeah,
you could get some pretty awesome performance out of it. Unfortunately, you don't get as big of an upgrade in performance if you only have Thunderbolt 2. It's better for like external displays because there's a few different ports on the back of this device. With Thunderbolt 3, you get upgraded performance on both your internal display and an external display. Sorry, I was getting a picture taken in front of me.
Not you.
No, not me. I was backing up out of the way.
Yeah. Otherwise,
we
had a great crotch shot.
There's two options to this. Let me get to the price. I thought
the Wolf and the Wolf Pro, right?
Yeah. So the Wolf is. It looks like it's going to be $500. It's $450 right now for the Kickstarter special. It looks like it's going to be $500 when it retails, and it's a GTX 950. And then the Wolf Pro
970?
Is a 970. Yeah.
Wondering why they just didn't use 1070 or 1080.
Like, for $600 is the Pro. Yeah, that's the thing. I would really rather see a 1060 and a 1070 in there.
Yeah. I would. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I can't imagine why they. Because it's a recent Kickstarter.
Especially so. Paying $500 for a 950 right now. It's not.
Essentially, yeah.
Now this does give the option to, like, there's a cheaper Kickstarter that you could get, or a cheaper option you could get that's just the housing without the video card inside, so you could put your own GPU in it.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they really, like, officially support any other than those two. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're the kind of person that's willing to deal with maybe some bugs or some issues, then...
What I find really funny about the whole thing in their video, I mean, this is no insult to them or anything, it's just the advertising sometimes. But, like, with a cheap and affordable method for improving your performance, you have a MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
That is not a cheap computer.
Yeah.
You paid $2,000 for it, probably.
Right. And now you're disappointed because you can't play games on it.
Yeah,
so.
And now you're paying another $700 to play games on it. But that's it. I don't think it's cheap and affordable because it only works with that one platform. And you already have to have an expensive computer.
Right.
I'm kind of bummed because I won't be able to use this on my laptop if I wanted to.
No.
Like, my laptop's not compatible with this. Not only does it not have a Thunderbolt drive, but it's not a new enough generation laptop for it.
I was suffering brain freeze.
Right. You would have to... Your best bet is to look for a laptop with Thunderbolt 3.
No. Yeah.
Otherwise, or use this thing. You could use this thing almost like a dock, kind of. Have a monitor hooked up to it. And then just...
Excuse me?
Docking.
Dirty.
Didn't we just go through this on one of the shows? Was that Godflix?
It was the Super Smash Brothers video we recorded
gotcha.
Before that.
But, I know we had a discussion about docking, so if you want to hear more about that.
No, it's actually not in the video.
Oh, good.
But Smash Brothers will be coming soon, I promise.
But yeah.
It's like docking.
That's basically all I got. I thought it was kind of cool. If you have a MacBook or a laptop with Thunderbolt, that's not like, I know there's some gaming laptops like, I think it's the Razer 16. It's all Thunderbolt 3 compatible, but it has its own solution for an external video card. And you may be better off just going that route then, you know.
Adam, you're a person with a MacBook Air Pro.
Mm.
You want to get this. Why don't you just get a gaming computer instead?
Because I
Because you're on the go so much? Because
first off, I really, really love my MacBook.
That was fucking perfect. That's what that was. Let's never let that down.
I think that's my brother, Tim.
I really love my MacBook.
And the second argument would be for portability. That's what they say in the video. Like, if portability is the important part for you. Yeah.
For gamers on the go.
But no, you're never going to get the same kind of quality that you would out of a
desktop.
When
you guys are on the go, are you worried about gaming?
All constantly.
Worried why I'm not at home gaming.
I've obviously been making terrible life choices as of late.
Yeah.
Although I would still love to travel for my job, so there's that too. It's a catch-22, brother.
I mean, it made that one pink, so or red. That's apparently red to them, unless our TV is super messed up. That looks
this TV has pretty decent color. I think that's pink too.
That looks pink.
I'm, you know, when it comes to TVs, I'm colorblind.
I didn't even question. I just assumed it was blue and pink the whole time. So
whoa, John, you're changing the scope of this.
He's changing the hexascope.
So, do we have anything else, or is it pretty much time to get on out of here?
Yeah, it's time to wrap her up.
I know Mike doesn't want to leave because he's so engrossed in this game now.
He's got a dangle cybernetic leg.
He's falling asleep.
I just posted the picture on Facebook of it, too, so... hey, give us a like on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Anything and everything to do with us will be found on YouTube at Waiting for Players. WaitingForPlayers.net or on Twitch.tv/WaitingForPlayers.
Yep. And subscribe and like the videos too, because that helps us out more than you think it does, probably.
It really helps because then it puts us on recommended views. Right. And it also increases our view count, which is something that really needs to happen.
And I mean, I think they're pretty funny videos, so they're worth the 10-15 minutes.
My one complaint about all the videos we've done is that we're still a little long. We could probably trim about 2 minutes off of every video and still
of that No Man's Sky was cool.
We could, but then we'd have to cut out all the laughs, so...
Yeah, yeah, we do have a good time doing that, that's true.
You're making it worse.
You just turned one off! It's time to go.
All right. I meant to do this.
Sir fails a lot, Harambe is life. What is that?
Yeah, that's what that said. Some Harambe was in there at least once.
Shit, dicks out for Harambe.
You know, they say a bullet a day keeps Harambe away.
So turn the volume down.
Okay. Bye.